evening, everyone. Finn, we've got to climb over the table to get them. Right. Good evening, everyone. I would like to welcome everyone to the meeting. Hopefully, everyone can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephone. Can everyone hear me okay? At home?
Yeah, we can hear you. Yeah.
I would like to welcome everyone to the meeting. Hopefully, everyone can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would like to remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interest which they have to any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber or hang up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. Proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item, either in the chamber or via Teams, use the chat facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. I would like to remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask a question, or C for a comment. Type P if you wish to propose. Type S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. If you need to leave the meeting early, please indicate via chat facility so that we are aware this is an active decision and does not indicate connectivity problems. Item one is apologies.
And Chris Gibbons and McAvoy.
Thank you. Chairperson's remarks. On behalf of everyone at Council, I wish to extend our deepest sympathy to the family and friends of Jamie Marks from Downpatrick, who tragically lost his life following a road traffic collision. I want to send deepest condolences and sympathy to Cathy Mason, MLA, and former chairperson of Newry Morning Down Council, on the passing of her brother, Peter Node. Our thoughts and prayers are with all Peter's family and friends at this sad time. Condolences also to the family of Walter Love, renowned broadcaster and journalist. Walter was also a popular volunteer at local charity Good Morning Down. The thoughts and prayers of everyone in Council are with the family of Alida Quinn following her passing. Alida had worked in customer services in our Green Bank offices in Newry and will be sadly missed by all who knew her. Last week, I had the pleasure of meeting Mary Cunningham from Shrever. She is one of three centenarians who I will have the pleasure of meeting within the week, including Ms. Maureen O'Hare from Bessbrook, and Molly O'Reilly from Downpatrick. I wish them all a very happy and special birthday on behalf of the council. Finally, I'd like to send huge congratulations to the Sacred Heart Grammar School on winning the Ulster Under 20 Championship, their first Ulster title in 21 years. Item two, sorry, Councillor Jackson.
Thank you, Chair. Just would like to put on record tonight from our DUP group, just want to send our best wishes to King Charles on tonight's breaking news of his ill health and diagnosis. I just want to wish him well and say that our thoughts or prayers are with him tonight. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Lee Surgener.
Thank you, Chair. I wish to state my profound sadness of the recent passing of James Marks and my thoughts to the Marks family, as I know Lisa Marks very well. The Lions Group also wish to extend sincere sympathies to Cathy Mason and her family. And also I want to pay tribute to the former Northern Ireland Fire and Rescue Service Watch Commander, Stephen Farr, who served Ballyhinch with distinction and valour, and he will be missed. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. It certainly has been a very sad week for the district in particular. In Downpatrick, losing WJ Marks, who was really loved and had very, very very popular young man, and it's always extremely sad to see young people pass away. And just sympathies to his mother and father, Paddy and Donna, and his siblings. Sinn Féin also are very, very sorry to see the passing of Peter Node, brother of our colleague Cathy Mason. Obviously, Walter Love was a very renowned and well thought of journalist, and he did a lot of good work out in Good Morning Down, and that has to be applauded here this evening. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hanlon. Councillor Truesdale.
Thank you, Chair. I echo the sentiments that have gone before. on behalf of the Alliance Party in South Down, I wish to record our congratulations to Johnny Ward, originally from Kilkeel, who has made history to complete the Ultimate Explorers Grand Slam. This makes Johnny not just the most well-travelled Irishman, but perhaps the most well-travelled person ever, and he is a great inspiration to all of us with a love and a passion for travel. Our Alliance MLA has followed his blog for years and was delighted to see Johnny complete this immense challenge. And I believe that it's right that Johnny is recognised as the Chair of the Council for this incredible achievement. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Truesdale. Councillor Taylor.
Chair, I just want to offer my personal condolences to all those families that have been bereaved that you referred to at the outset of the meeting. They all will, you know, grieve deeply for their loved ones that have passed on in the recent days and weeks. And I certainly hope that they will know God's richest blessing in the difficult days ahead as they come to terms with their grief and grieve that loss. Obviously, similar to Councillor Jackson, the news of King Charles' health that spoke this evening is obviously very concerning. And certainly the Ulster Unionist Party send their best wishes to King Charles and indeed the royal family as he will undergo necessary treatment, and also to the Princess of Wales, who is recovering from surgery as well. So I would like those comments noted as well, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor. Councillor Devlin.
Thank you, Chair. So we followed all everybody else's comments. Our thoughts are with the Marks family and also with Cathy's family and the pastor and brother Peter.
Thank you, Councillor Devlin. Item two, declaration of interest.
Done.
Item three, to set a district rate for the financial year, and I pass you over to.
Thank you, Chair. So, Chair, just on the first item of business in relation to the setting of the rate, in accordance with Standing Order 21-2A, Councillor asked to agree that this rates paper should not be subject to call-in because it would cause unreasonable delay, which would be prejudicial to the Council's and public's interest in striking the rate by the statutory deadline of the 15th of February 2024. Could I ask for proposal and seconder on that?
Proposed by Councillor Hanlon. Seconded by Councillor Murphy.
Chair, then if I just take you to the paper in relation to the striking of the district rate. In accordance with the requirements of the Local Government Finance Act, Northern Ireland 2011, as Chief Executive and the Chief Financial Officer, I am required to provide assurance to members on the robustness of the revenue estimates and the adequacy of the Council's reserves position as part of the rate-setting process prior to submission to the Department for Communities. Detailed estimates have been formulated, presented to and scrutinised by members of the Strategic Finance Working Group. These have taken into account overturns from previous years, corporate pressures, planned savings and efficiencies, current spending plans and projected future investment, and that adequate funding is available to protect frontline services. As a result of this extensive process, the detailed analysis that has been undertaken, I am satisfied that the estimates presented provide adequate financial resources to support the running costs of the Council for 24-25, and that reasonable consideration of the financial risks of the Council have been made in the preparation of the estimates. I would draw members' attention to the remainder of 2.1, which highlights the uncertainties in setting the rates process. I would then refer to the recommendations contained at 3.0 and 3.1 in the paper, and I would ask that members approve the considerations and recommendations of the Strategic Finance Working Group in relation to the 24-25 rate setting process, and having regard to the Chief Executive's statement required by the Local Government Finance Act, approve an increase in the district rate for 23-24 of 6.41%. Also approve the medium-term financial plan and authorise the 24-25 expenditure included in the estimates. Approve the capital strategy report. Approve the capital programme. Approve the treasury management strategy statement. Approve the minimum revenue provision statement. And approve the action sheets of the Strategic Finance Working Group. And I would also recommend that officers will present a draft capital reserves policy for members' consideration at an SPNR committee.
Councillor Jackson.
Thank you, Chair. The DUP is committed to securing the lowest possible rate in the context of considerable external pressures. There is a need for reform of business rates reflecting commercial realities of business and trends. There is a responsibility on parties to scrutinise, question and consider the decisions which directly affect the lives of residents across the district. Our group is confident that we have provided that scrutiny. We have engaged with management, reviewed and reflected on options which would have ultimately brought the rate down below last year's level. However, we as a party could not in good conscience inflict cuts, no matter how minimal, community volunteer organisations which rely on SLA grants. Those groups and communities which benefit and take great joy along with the potential and income civic sponsored events brings. We are all aware of the direct investment and economic value of these events. For many, the Festival of Flight was seen as one of the district's flagship events. We again tonight take the opportunity to call on officers to work to restore the Festival of Flight, and we propose forming a working group with focus on this event, the challenges and the pathway to see it returned. Tonight, we are confident that this rate protects those vital council contributions to community projects while delivering a fair and realistic rate. As a party, we have sought to initiate improving council efficiency by beginning the process of a refuge service review. This vital frontline service is for many their direct contact with council. At the moment, I'm sorry to say that that reflection is poor, littered with complaints and missed and broken bins. Many residents across the district will ask, where is the value for money? An increased rate and poor service cannot be the outward image of this council. We will continue to work alongside management to ensure a full and comprehensive review of that service. Council must also take measures to tackle the most basic of issues, from dog fouling, littering to fly tipping. We as a party seek to explore avenues to increase the frequency and value of fines. More consideration must be given to employment of more enforcement staff, which can work to alleviate these issues. Council requires a back-to-basics approach. In an aim to effectively deliver basic frontline services, residents deserve better. The rate must reflect their expectations. The realities of this rate are coupled with the challenging economic times which lie ahead. Inflation has a direct impact on how this council does business. This rate ensures most of those costs are absorbed by the council, with additional internal measures, which were agreed at last week's strategic finance working group,
have total savings of £670,000, leaving us at a rate of 6.41%, which sits far below what was originally proposed. The Council must also take steps to repair, restore and enhance planning. There are a wealth of projects coming forward, new homes sitting on a page, waiting on the green light to put spade to soil. An effective and efficient planning process is the backbone to expanding the rate base through ambitious development. There must be renewed and continued focus on anti-avoidance programmes to identify those failing to pay their fair share. People who avoid paying rates cost the public more, and we will liaise on with council officers to understand what measures are taken, both by council and the departmental level, to identify and enforce. There are, of course, those who will vote against tonight's rate, blaming everyone else, misleading the public, spinning falsehoods and creating division. The message is clear. You are part of this council. You have a voice on the committees and working groups. With increased seats comes responsibility. And this DEP group has met that challenge. There are also those who have gave genuine proposals which involve dipping into council reserves. But we see this as a gamble which reflects positively on the rate this year, but then pushing it up the next. We are not prepared to kick the can down the road. Difficult decisions need to be made, responsible and realistic proposals which reflect the current climate. In conclusion, I thank the officers, staff and colleagues who have worked, met, scrutinised and enhanced these rate proposals. We are at a figure that we are confident others offers value for money. Protecting community investment, ensuring value for money, ring-fencing funding for civic events, and importantly, in line with our party manifesto as a direct promise to ratepayers seeking to improve council services. We as a group will be seconding this rate. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Jackson. Councillor Hanlon.
Thank you, Chair. So tonight, as councillors, we are here to agree to strike a rate for the Newry Morning Down District. It is one of our roles as elected representatives to oversee and scrutinise the financial management of the council. Sinn Féin take this responsibility very seriously. We want to secure a stable financial budget for this district, one which will secure funding for capital projects, continue to deliver for our communities and to improve our services. It's imperative that Council continues to move forward with plans to regenerate our towns and city and expand sustainable tourism for our district. If we look across the district, there are exciting plans for development and we are leading this progress. Fiscal stability is critical to these plans. It would be impossible to go down any further than the suggested rate tonight without cutting services, service level agreements and supporting community events and ensuring jobs are safe for our staff. There have been challenges for local government recently in terms of funding, for example, being levied with animal welfare costs, and we had no real assurances for the rate support grant. Thankfully, though, we're looking at a much brighter days ahead, and we will have the stability of a central budget going forward and locally elected ministers in place to make decisions. The figures have been scrutinised, revised and debated over many, many months in several meetings with officers, and this rate has more than halved from the first rate presented to us. We've landed on the rate of 6.49, which equates for the average 130k householder in and around £78 per week. What did I say? 6.41, stand corrected. We believe this is the lowest we can safely go down to, and the figure, as I said, has more than halved from the first rate presented to us. The Sinn Féin will be proposing this rate tonight, seconded by the DUP team. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hanlon. Councillor Truesdale.
Thank you, Chair. Alliance's decision in the rate setting process is due to our concerns regarding the viability of capital budgets such as Newry Civic Centre and the Bourne Gateway project. Council management has also not disclosed updated project costs, which the Department for Economy informed Council management of in November. This comes as the Council plans to spend £2 million next year on a consultancy team for the project. As a party grouping, we're not comfortable with embarking on such a huge capital project with speculative costs that may hit ratepayers in the pocket for years to come. Despite our concerns, we fully support workers receiving the pay deal that they deserve after extensive negotiations. We're also pleased to see the Council fund the animal welfare grant, which was cut last year. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Truesdale. Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Through the various strategic finance working groups, we brought a number of proposals to officers, and we followed up with those proposals over the last week between our last meeting of SFWG to try and get a bit of clarity on the proposals we put forward. I have to take offence to the DUP stating that anyone who criticises or looks for alternatives is looking at cutting services. That's simply not true. It was stated by Sinn Féin as well. We put alternative proposals around the capital fund. We wanted clarity around the capital fund, and they still haven't been answered. To take us back to this time last year, we had made proposals around a £15 million ring fence capital fund that is there to service our capital projects. We had a clear path that we would start using that money from this year. It was projected to use £1.5 million of it from this year, of which MSA were going up in 1.73% linked to MRP and loans on our capital projects. That has been removed. There was vast discussion around the strategic finance working group that we bring papers back to SPNR. For us, that's not good enough. We had the same line last year. And what we're saying is, yes, we have an ambitious capital program. Not a single project on the capital program in the future does affect the rate tonight. I want to make that clear. So we are not speaking out against the capital program. We wanted clarity on how we use that fund to keep our capital costs down. Our MRP costs are high, our loan interest is high. We know it's set to spike in 3 years' time, but we want to be able to manage it across that period. And we don't have the information in front of us of why we can't tap into that now. So we have to absorb 1.73% onto the rate this year, which is linked to capital funds, and we can't touch the ring fence capital funds that was put in place for that. That is not a cut to services. That is a 1.73% cut to the rate now, and that is something that we could address. Secondly, we talked about the rate support grant and the animal welfare cuts. We all know that the landscape has changed in the last couple of days, and that we have an executive up and going with an additional $3.3 billion. We're well aware that SOLAS over the last number of months has been pushing to get local government cuts reinstated, and more importantly, the rate support grant, which has been slashed over the last number of years. Since I came onto the council, it was sitting at $1.7 million, and we're down in and around £800,000. We should be fighting to get that reinstated. And it's not good enough to come to us on the rate and say we are fighting to get it reinstated, but we have to take from reserves to cover it here at circa 300k. Because in previous years, when we did get past that reinstated later on in the year, we put that back in the reserves. So we're out and we're hitting the rate pay for the topping up our rate support grant. And then if it's reinstated later on, there's nothing we can do about that. We all know that the budget from the Department for Communities won't be set until a budget is agreed. And we don't know what the baseline of that is. Let's assume, as they say, that it's going to be the maximum that it was last year. That's not acceptable. And especially with the element of welfare cuts as well, it's not acceptable. So when you'd overspend in the executive budget, they went to Westminster above to try and get that, and that's where they got the deal at the $3.3 billion. When we have issues where cuts are directly put onto local government from the Assembly, we have no recourse to get that back before we strike a rate. So we would propose that we move forward, we factor that in, to take the rate down, and we move forward at risk on that. And we put it into the hands of officers to make the case to have that money restored to local government, to make the case that with that pot from DFC's budget that we want that money restored, and let them know, through SOLAS, that we're moving forward at risk, not hitting the ratepayer on this. The ratepayer across our district, businesses have been hammered across our district in the last year. We're always talking about rainy day pots of being able to help businesses at hard times. We've had a pandemic. We've had a severe flooding right across the district, which has hit us disproportionately to other districts across the north. There's no other district across the north that had as much damage from the floods as our district. We also have a shrinking rate base from the last revaluation. So we're trying to say that we're open for business, but those businesses are trying to get back on their feet. And it's not just across the urban centres. Businesses, I talked about businesses across Midland and Strategic Finance Working Group, where they have a ball pool and bouncy castles indoors for kids charging a fiver ahead and have to pay £34,000 in rates. They know they're going to close if it's not cut, but yet we're going to hit them again with a 7% increase, and then let's wait and see what the regional rate comes at. It really isn't acceptable for them in this year, and we should be looking, instead of saying to them, cut your cloth for increased rates, we should be cutting our cloth. When I first got on to this council, we talked about 2% cut across directorates. And we had some of the proposals in front of us of a 1% cut across directors, with very, very little detail of where that's coming from. We need to drive down and try and find efficiencies in our own budget. And I disagree with the DUP who are saying that further cut to any further cut to the rate is going to hit events or SLAs. We all said there is no political agreement there's no political appetite for hitting any SLAs or to cut the events budget. We will look at the events budget through ERT and decide going forward what we want to do, because we want to grow events in this council and we want to deliver capital projects in this council. But I've stated there through the rate support grant and the animal welfare cost to move forward at risk and the 1.73 directly linked to MRP and loans, of which we have a vehicle to draw down money on, that is a way of taking the rate down. We fully support the increased pay for public sector workers. We fully support it. We understand that there is going to have to be some sort of an increase, but we need to do a wee bit more work. Also, two more points on things that we raised at SFWG. We talked about looking into striking two different rates and the possibility of that. We have brought this forward a number of times for the officers to come back to us with some details. I don't think it's good enough to say that Mid and East Antrim done it and it didn't work. They struck a higher rate for domestic or for business over domestic, and it didn't really work. Or we just don't, we wouldn't approve of it. That's not an answer. That's not. If there's a tool there to use in order to help businesses, then we should investigate it. And when we have that information in front of us, hard information of what it would mean, then we can make a political decision on whether that would be the right thing to do or not the right thing to do. I understand that business owners live in the district as well. But if you have a house and your rates are £1,000 or £1,200, it is not the same when you have an increase when you have a business at £30,000 or £40,000 in rates. It is not comparable. They are apples and oranges. And that's why we should be using all tools available to us to try and strike the right balance that will support businesses in the district. The other issue that I have is when we've talked about, our group has, when we talk about the rates, previously we always talked about three-year projections and trying to iron out the increase over a number of years. We know where our staff lines are increasing year on year. We know, obviously, with level of inflation increasing year on year, their costs are going to increase. Time and time again, we look at the three-year projections, and the following year we're sitting at 4-point-something. And the next year, then, we're sitting at 4-point-something. But this year, we're sitting at 7 and got it down to 6.41. Where is the medium-term thinking where we can draw that out? Why are we 2% lower next year and 2% lower the year after with the big spike coming in 2027? We have to have that medium-term planning because we always front-load the year that we're in. And I don't accept the argument that goes out every single year that we are half of where we started. Everybody in this room knows we start at a very, very high figure. We've started at 15%, 12% for as long as I'm a councillor in this council, and we've always got sub 6%. So that doesn't float with me. The figure that we start with and where we get to is always below half. What we have to do is roll up our sleeves, find savings in this council, get clarity on how we can use our capital fund to reduce our capital programme so we know we're not actually biting off more than we can chew, and don't put those costs on the ratepayer and move forward at risk on the RSG and the animal welfare. That way we can make over 2% savings, and that would be a proposal that we would want to see coming forward. But again, we don't have that information for us. So I'm very, very disappointed, the paper in front of us, and I'm very disappointed the parties are lapping up and saying we can't do any more. Clearly articulated that we can.
Mr. Taylor.
I think it's very clear, Chair, just from the remarks from various councillors and parties tonight, that none of us are content where we are. Certainly, I've found I'm sitting on my fourth term in council now, and over the last couple of years in particular, this has certainly been the most challenging period that I've experienced and indeed that all of us have experienced as councillors in trying to find a way of reducing the rate levels that are imposed on our citizens as a result of the challenges that we face. But there's always that balance where we're trying to strike between protecting the services that we have and providing the services that benefit our communities and indeed creating that regeneration that our district needs as well. And then potentially damaging that if we make a decision to strike a rate that affects those various benefits that we do offer as a council. So I don't, you know, underestimate the challenge that we all have here, and it's a difficult one for all of us. But probably the biggest issue for me at times and the frustrations that I have is, you know, we're sitting now in the third term of the reform of local government, and at the time whenever this reform took place, it was supposed to create far more efficient service for people, better services at reduced cost, and that's never been realised. Certainly the executive has a role to play in making sure that is the case. We've provided with additional services, but not the additional resources that we should have got. The reduction in the rate support grant also places additional pressures on us as well. So we always say an executive will never cure all our ills, but they certainly have a role to play in this regard as well, to take the pressure off local government going forward. But listen, it's a major challenge just for us as a council here financially, if we're to deliver all that we want to do. So, so none of us are content about where we are, but I think a lot of work has gone in recent discussions over the last number of months in particular, and even the discussions that we have had as councillors with senior officials who have worked hard to try and get us to this point. But it's a challenge for everybody, there's no doubt about that.
Councillor Taylor. Councillor Enright.
Thanks, Chair. Our party also has questions over the construction of significant office space in Newry without a guaranteed anchor tenant after the civil services withdrawal. There's also no need for a second council chamber in Newry post-COVID, considering the existing facility in Lampartic with extensive video conferencing facilities. However, the sustainability considerations in the rate-setting process do mark a significant step forward in combating the climate change emergency within our council and presents an opportunity to generate revenues in future. Our party has long advocated this, and I'm pleased to see our recommendations are being considered. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Enright. I suppose, Chair, just to come back on the question of animal welfare, we are actually making an alliance for animal welfare within the rate, and that is at risk because that has been withdrawn by the departments, currently in judicial review, and members are aware of that. In relation to the rate support grant, it's one that unfortunately has been reduced year on year. SOLAS have been very strong in actually lobbying the departments on that rate support grant. There comes a point where we can't continue to keep allowing it out of reserves, and we had discussed in long and many conversations with elected members around the actual provision of that reduction in the offsetting to about a half. So, and that's what we have within the rates process this year. It's anticipated from what department officials are telling us that it probably will reduce again this year. So I think that's a measured risk that we're taking on that particular one. On the capital reserves, I know, Councillor Byrne, you did refer to a previous SPWG report where we talked about use of capital reserves. But if you tie that up with the actual capital programme, you'll see that that was talking about when we actually have built or started to build our big projects, which we haven't started. We would be very much advocating the use of the capital reserves for those big projects. And as per recommendation 8, we're presenting a draft capital reserves policy for members' consideration at SPNR. And I would anticipate that we would start to use that capital reserve in the following years, but I don't believe there's any justification at this point. I think it's important as well for members to cast their minds back, which I did, to the council last year when we set the rate. And I had cautioned around use of any further reserves, because when you use reserves for recurring expenditure, then what happens is you actually have to find that money in this year, and that's effectively what we're having to do as well. So if we hadn't used the reserves, which we did justifiably at that point, in a managed and measured way, then our rate would be lower this year, but we did use the reserves at that time, and we have to make that up in this year. So as I've said out previously, I believe this is an appropriate rate for the council, and have recommended it to you. I think there's further work to do as a council in relation to how we manage going forward. There are many, many challenges from a cost perspective, and hopefully with the executive back in place, we will get more certainty on our budgets, because as it's highlighted in the report, there's a lot of risk and uncertainty for us in central government budgets. So we would be hoping that we would get some certainty around that, and we know that we could move forward effectively. Sorry, Chair, just to address the comment made by the Alliance Party in relation to members not being aware of costs relating to the Mooring Gateway. Just to say to members, and members will be aware of this who are involved with that project from project board perspective, that the council cost estimates of the project haven't increased. However, there are ongoing discussions about the allowance that should be built into the project budget to cover possible future construction inflation and other risks. And that hasn't been agreed at this point. Indeed, it's only just last week I met the Permanent Secretary of the Department for the Economy, and that discussion is ongoing. A report on the project costs and budgets due to be presented by our cost consultants at, I think there's a meeting scheduled at the Moor Mountains Gateway eminently, so that will be brought forward. But as I previously highlighted, that doesn't impact the rate this year.
And actually as well, sorry, just to address the Alliance's further comments in relation to the Civic Centre in Newry, that is a long, exhausted and discussed project within this chamber, and indeed queries that have been raised were addressed through a governance review a number of years ago. So I would refer members back to those committee meetings, those discussions and the various minutes that were agreed.
Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Just briefly to clarify a comment from the Chief Executive's response about the Capital Fund. There's no justification to use it at this point. That is an opinion of officers. It is an opinion of officers that has changed. The opinion of officers 6 months ago was a proposal to us to use it starting from this year. And I want to make that very clear. We're not just pulling this out of thin air. We had a proposal to draw down $1.5 million this year over the next 10 years for that Capital Fund. I understand there are different opinions of when to use it in the Capital Fund, whether it spikes or whether to use it slowly over a period of time. But that is a proposal that was in front of us, a proposal that we could get behind, and a proposal that has been removed and been brought back to committee to be reprofiled. I want to make that very clear. There is no evidence given to us that we can accept that reprofile or that justification for not using it this year. We don't have that in front of us, and that's where our issue lies.
Thank you. Councillor Byrne. Is everyone in agreement?
No.
So we'll call for a roll call vote, please. Councillor Andrew?
Against.
Councillor Bowsey?
For.
Councillor Brennan?
For.
Councillor Byrne? Councillor Campbell? Councillor Clark?
For.
Councillor Devlin? Councillor Enright?
Abstain.
Councillor Feehan?
Against.
Councillor Finn?
Against.
Councillor Finnegan?
For.
Councillor Gilbreath?
Against.
Councillor Gibbons is absent. Councillor Hanlon?
For.
Councillor Hannah?
For.
Councillor Hart?
For.
Councillor Howell?
For.
Councillor Jackson?
For.
Councillor Kearns?
For.
Councillor Kelly?
Abstain.
Councillor King?
For.
Councillor Larkin?
For.
Councillor Lee Sojourner?
Abstain.
Councillor Lewis?
For.
Councillor McGuinness?
For.
Councillor Mathers?
For.
Councillor McAteer? Councillor McAvoy is absent. Councillor McMurray?
Abstain.
Councillor O'Hare?
For.
Councillor Declan Murphy?
For.
Councillor Kate Murphy?
For.
Councillor Selena Murphy?
For.
Councillor Quinn?
For.
Councillor Riley?
For.
Councillor Rice? Councillor Rowan?
For.
Councillor Sharvin?
Against.
Councillor Taylor?
For.
Councillor Tinley?
For.
Councillor Truesdale?
Abstain.
I have 26 for, 8 against, and 5 abstentions.
Carries. Moving on to item 4, the action sheet arising from the council meeting held on the 8th of January 2024. I'll go through it page by page for accuracy. Page one, page two, page three, page four, page five, six, page seven, page eight. Can we have a proposer and seconder, please? Proposed by Councillor Truesdale, seconded by Councillor Andrews. Councillor Byrne, you have a question?
Yeah, on page four, noting the correspondence on the motion on Southern New Zealand Gaza, we still don't have correspondence back from the Irish government. It's run on a number of months. We have the one back from UK government. Can we have even a follow-up on that to see if we can get a response back for the next council meeting, please?
Yeah, Chair, we'll follow up with the we've already followed up, but we'll follow up again.
Thanks.
Item 5 is the minutes of the council meeting held on the 8th of January 2024. We'll go through the pages for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11, page 12, page 13, page 14, page 15, page 16, page 17. Could I have a proposer and seconder, please? Proposed by Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor Hannah. Any matters arising? No. Thank you. Item 6 is the minutes of the Economy, Regeneration and Tourism Committee. We'll go through it page by page for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5. Could I have a proposer and seconder, please? Proposed by Councillor Bowsey, seconded by Councillor Lee Sertiner. Any matters arising? Item 7 is the minutes of the Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee meeting held on the 18th of January 2024. I go through page by page for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11, page 12. Could I have a proposer and seconder, please?
Proposed, Chair.
Proposed by Councillor Cairns. No, sorry. Sorry, Councillor McAteer. Seconder. Seconded by Councillor Taylor. Councillor Murphy, you have a question?
Yes, it's just in page 3 in relation to industrial relations. And the number of bullet points, recommendations that were...
That matter was considered in closed session, so we would need to go into closed session to discuss that.
I was only just looking for clarification.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Just conscious of the closed session, but okay.
Yeah, no problem. I'm not going to any detail. It was only really just one of the bullet points, bullet point number 3, and it's only just in relation to that, is there a time frame, terms of reference, and is there any idea of the framework of what has been proposed in that?
Yeah, so, Chair, it's a matter that had been put forward in a Labour Relations Agency proposal, which is currently being considered by SOLAS, and we're due to issue a response to the Labour Relations Agency. I couldn't give you a defined time frame because it's something that will have to be worked through, but I can certainly raise it again at SOLAS just to see how far it's going on, and then we can also raise it with the Labour Relations Agency as well.
That's
it all.
Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Murphy. Councillor
Ruam. Yeah, thanks, Chair. It's just in relation to the motion that was discussed at that meeting. And I have to say, as a crop leave councillor, having listened back to the audio of what took place that night, I have to find it very concerning to some of the comments that were made during that. There basically we had a conversation that went along the lines of that the crop leave local councillors would be kept out of any decision making regarding a major development within their area. Thankfully, Councillor Sharvin at the 11th hour seen the problems that were emanating from that there and sort of brought it back into reality. But there was a number of things happened during that conversation. Obviously, I think on half a dozen occasions, the legal representative had to come in and make reference to discussing an ongoing planning application, which was the Kilroney pitches. And all I can see that was achieved by bringing this before council, because there is a forum to deal with this here. That forum was the DEA forum. Basically, this was disenfranchising the other councillors from Cradleigh that weren't present at that meeting. So, another comment that Councillor Tinley made in that there during the course of that discussion was that he was the sole spokesperson for the clubs going forward. And I'm just wondering, another question I'll be asking is, how does that sit? And me, all my time in council, I've never known a councillor. While we come in and we are supportive of projects and we're supportive of what we have in front of us, that's the first time I've actually heard an elected member come in and say that I'm the sole spokesperson for both the soccer club and the Gaelic club. And I'm wondering how that fits with a councillor then being a part of any decision that might be taken on that particular application as we went forward. The other thing that happened that night was there must have been at least four members of the planning committee present for that meeting. Basically, by them sitting through, one of them got up eventually and left the meeting and stated that it was he couldn't no longer take part in the meeting. But basically, there you have a number of councillors who are now possibly unable to take part on any decision that might be made on this application when it comes before the planning committee. Everything that the recommendations talk about are things that were already happening and were already discussed with the Cradleigh councillors. In fact, there was a meeting took place either the end of November or early December. And unfortunately, for whatever reason, Councillor Tinney wasn't able to make it that night. But it was discussed, this application. And at that meeting, the councillors there asked that both clubs be kept, be spoken to directly and be kept abreast of everything that was happening with that application. But I have to say it was a strange conversation. And I suppose one of the things I would welcome is it being proposed by Councillor Riley, and to see the DUP proposing the building of a Gaelic pitch is welcome, because we know that that doesn't happen throughout the councils in the north. And maybe that's a new way forward for them. But I have to say, it really baffled me when I listened to the recording of it and the audio of it, because it made no sense why that motion was actually taken to the floor of this council in the first place. And the DEA forum was the only place to discuss this. And I'm sure there's not a councillor in this chamber, no matter what DEA they're from, wouldn't think that it would be suggested that the DEA be ignored and that it would go straight to committee. I would suggest that of the recommendations that were forced, that any discussions on this item goes before the DEA, and then whatever recommendations or proposals that are made by the DEA then go forward to the relevant committee and no other way. So I would add that in to that their recommendation. And obviously I want the clarification on Councillor Finney saying that he was the sole spokesperson for both clubs, how that works for a councillor making those comments.
In relation to those comments, I'm happy to take that forward and look at that from the recording. On the night, that there was advice from the legal representative that each councillor had to consider their own conflict best, but I'm more than happy to look at said. And,
Councillor Moran, is that a proposal you're making?
It is a proposal, yeah, in relation to the DEA being the source that's the issues come to first. Any decisions then following from that, they'll go to the relevant committee when they're made.
Is there a seconder for Councillor Moran's proposal? Councillor Kate Murphy. Is everybody in agreement?
Question on it, just first. It's in the box.
Questions first. Lee.
Chairman, I was actually looking in on the planning issue, but I can't understand where Councillor Ryan's coming from, because it was a pretty open discussion that was held, and in fact it was a good debate and it was well chaired. And the legal advice that I heard did not deny future participation of planning committee members. It gives them some advice, but it did not preclude them from participating in any future meeting to discuss that facility. And Chairman, I'm about fairness to people and justice. And if it's a Gaelic pitch or a football pitch or a hockey pitch, I don't care what it is. I'm for fairness. And if Mickey can't understand that, you know, maybe it's a bigger reflection on him than it is on me or the DUP. But Chairman, I'll wait on my time until we come to the planning issue, if that's all right.
Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, Chair, on the proposal, I have no issues with it. And I was the councillor who left the room before any planning was discussed. Actually, when I was leaving, they still weren't discussing planning, but I just thought it was the right thing to do. But when motions are brought to the council, it's the direction of the chair yourself to move to the committee. And we do get fixated, but they have to go to statutory committees. But no, they can go to working groups and DEAs. So in future, maybe anything like that, to go straight to DEA, maybe challenge it at that point, because it's not comfortable listening to a DEA issue being trashed out at a statutory committee. So I think maybe it's a lesson for all of us in the future to move them to DEA. It's something that is a deeply personal or a deeply local issue within a DEA. But yeah, no issue with the proposal, but maybe if we call it in at that time, we didn't have to hear that debate.
Was everyone in agreement? Okay. Item 8 is the minutes of the active and healthy community committee meeting held on the 22nd January 2024. Read page by page for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3. Could I have a proposer and seconder, please? Proposed by Councillor McGuinness, seconded by Councillor Howell. Any matters arising? Councillor Tinley.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. Chair, page 3. No, you're probably not allowed a discussion here, but it was an item that was brought for noting there at the AHC, but just looking clarity as to what the actual status of the report now is, because obviously by ratifying something, we're accepting the bona fides of it, but the opportunity wasn't afforded to challenge the contents of that report, and that's what I wanted to do. So where can I challenge that, and where can that report be discussed, notwithstanding what's going on in the background? So I'm just looking clarity on that. So if we are ratifying this tonight, then what's the official status of that report when it's actually been voted on or nodded through without discussion?
This report was for noting at the AHC, just purely for noting. And the audit audit committee is considering the matter.
Item 9, Minister
of Justice. Sure, sorry. Sure. I do respect Josephine's answer. I also received that answer in email, but that doesn't make sense. What actually does that mean? What does that mean? If we're ratifying, if the report has been ratified here tonight without being allowed to be discussed or the contents of that report be...
Henley, it isn't being ratified here tonight. It's being noted here tonight. And the matter's being considered by the audit committee.
Right, okay. Thank you.
Mr. Finn. Item 9 is the minutes of the Sustainability and Environment Committee meeting held on the 24th of January 2024. We'll go through page by page for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3. Page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8. Could I have a proposer and seconder, please? Proposed by Councillor Kearns. Seconded by Councillor McGuinness. Councillor Finn, you have a comment?
Yeah, it's just as a member of that committee, I think we did come up with some really good proposals in relation to the flooding that had hit the district. But I think since those decisions were made, things have moved on politically, and I do think it's incumbent on all of us as councillors who have talked about the need for funding from an executive and a newly formed assembly, which is why I would like to make minor proposals to the things that we've agreed in relation to writing to DFI Rivers. I also think we should be writing to our infrastructure minister to ensure that they also comment on the maintenance schedule. And along with that, I think as well, we do need to be writing to our economy minister to encourage that the next phase of flood relief funding would be mentioned in a letter, and so that they have that as top of their priority list.
Chair, just in response, Rivers is part of DFI, so it will be covered in that correspondence.
It's the fact that we do now have a minister, and I think that that correspondence should be directed to the very top.
Chair, clearly we can't send that letter until these minutes have been approved tonight and we've had the 5 days call in, so consequently we will be writing to the minister.
Councillor Finn, you had a further proposal about writing to DFA. Did I pick that up slightly?
Yeah, it was DFA as well. That's just in relation
DFA
to
DFA and DFA.
Yes, both of them just.
And the DFA included in it. Okay, so DFA is included. Oh, no, sorry, it's not. So we need a seconder for the DFA. Councillor Byrne. Councillor Byrne. Is everybody in agreement with that?
Everyone in agreement?
Yeah.
Item 10 is the planning section. There's nothing.
Chair, can I make a comment on that, please? Just in the planning.
Go ahead, Councillor Hannah.
That's okay, thanks. Just on there was one particular one that's never happened before. There was an application called in. What actually happened with that there? I remember the outcome of that in around Killalea.
Chair, I did respond to the members who had called it in, and I can share that with Councillor.
Okay, thank you, Chair.
I just wanted to know, Madam Chair, from the SPNR, I wanted to ask Connor, has there been any improvement or any ideas brought forward on how we're going to get all these applications allocated? Because quite literally, phones never stop from people and agents, and councillors are getting the blame for it. And I want to know, has anything been done since that SPNR where every single councillor present express their desires to try and get this sorted, because it's causing so much distress, economic and social distress to the area. And now that the Assembly's up and running again, and hopefully there will be maybe more investment coming into the area and into Northern Ireland, but this area will be avoided. If people think that any application to develop a business in Newry, Morning Down will be hindered because of the planning process, they'll go elsewhere. The councillors that are up to date with their processes will have demonstrated, efficient council planning policy. So, Chairman, it is a big, big concern. And as I say, it's a thing that's in hundreds. It's affecting hundreds of families. And we need to get it resolved. And I didn't want to bring it up tonight, but just I've had so many people on to me from the last time we discussed it. We need to keep bringing this up. And to my group leader mentioned it. One of the reasons why I supported the rates increase is because of the guarantee that we will be looking at this in a very serious way. But Connor, I don't want to embarrass you, but definitely we need answers on this.
Ed Luton, anyway. Be reassured, I'm not embarrassed. but just to answer through the chair to Councillor O'Reilly's concerns, we share the concerns. If there's any reassurance, our processes are up to date and are robust. And the key challenge we face is in attracting the numbers of staff within the planning department that we need to deal with the volume of work. Since the last meeting, we have initiated a further recruitment exercise to bring more planning assistance into the department. That's the 10th recruitment exercise we have carried out in the last 12 months. We still have 5 vacancies within the department that we're trying to fill. So that is our key challenge. Since the last meeting, I have met with the senior planners on a number of occasions. We have some interventions that I hope to see some results coming from in the next few weeks. But we're trying to invest in the planning department to try and resolve the issues we have, to try and get the backlog addressed, to try and allocate the applications that are sitting in the system and to validate the high volume of applications that continue to be submitted into the planning department. And I think it's been said before, we receive the highest number of planning applications than any other council. We have a resource plan. If we can have it fully staffed, we will be able to deal with the challenges that are ahead of us in the future. But as I said before, the challenge is resource. We are not alone. Every other council, and I think Councillor Sharvin was at a meeting recently where he was in discussion with other chief executives and other councils, and they're experiencing the exact same challenge. But we're not going to rest until we have it resolved. And as I say, we continue to go out to the market to try and recruit staff into the council and try and retain the staff that we have within the department at the minute as well. So we're making every effort to try and progress it. And I hope in the coming weeks that you'll be able to see some of the outputs of that.
Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor Riley. Items 11 or 6 to 16 are for noting. Can I have a proposer and seconder, please? Proposed by Councillor Andrews, seconded by Councillor Quinn. Councillor Devlin, you're looking to come in.
Yes, thank you, Chair. It's really just a comment in respect of the item of correspondence number 16 in respect of childcare. I was in Stormont on Saturday, and I'm obviously really pleased to see that we have an executive formed at long, long last, and I absolutely welcome the comments that were made on the floor of the Assembly by all the political parties there in terms of the urgent need for reform and investment in our childcare sector. And I really hope that we have that positive announcement and soon, because we've all been told in the run-up to the reformation executive that would be a day one priority for all the parties. So I'm really hoping that a good announcement comes sooner rather than later, because we all know in this chamber and outside this chamber the pressing need on working families and on the providers, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Devlin. Councillor Fahan.
Yes, sir. It was just a comment on the correspondence both from the Trust and the Permanent Secretary of the Department of Health. So with respect to the correspondence from the Chief Executive of the Trust, I just wanted to record my disappointment at the decision by the Southern Trust Chief Exec not to accept a reasonable request to come before this Council. I note with both sorrow and frustration that the Chief Executive's regurgitation of previous Trust talking points on the issue. I had hoped that an issue of life and death would have motivated the Chief Executive of the Southern Trust to make a 55-minute journey from Craigavon to Downpatrick to address the legitimate concerns of this council, because, after all, it's that same Trust that is telling people in Colville, Kilkeel, Arricall and Cross Maglean that they now need to be prepared to travel to Craigavon to access healthcare upon which their lives depend. So if it isn't good enough for the goose, then why is it grand for the gander? The Permanent Secretary's letter, I think that the response from the Permanent Secretary honestly raises more questions than it answers. The Permanent Secretary points to issues with high attrition rates with respect to specialist personnel at Daisy Hill Hospital, and I think we all in this chamber have a right to be slightly affronted at the apparent reality that the withdrawal of services seems to be the go-to solution for addressing these personnel issues, rather than addressing what are evidently fundamental issues around workforce management within the Trust. So rather than addressing the concerns I raised, the Permanent Secretary's letter merely serves to amplify the need for an urgent meeting with the Chief Executive of the Trust, a meeting that she is quite clearly unwilling to attend. So thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Fahan. Moving on, item 17 is the Northern Ireland Environment Forum 2024. It's a meeting in the Europa Hotel on Thursday, the 18th of April 2024. The early bird delegate rate is 195 plus VAT, which equals £234 before Thursday, the 15th of February 2024. The normal delegate rate is 245 plus VAT. Councillor Enright has indicated he would like to attend. I am looking for a proposer and seconder for this, please. Councillor Enright, do you have a comment?
Yes, Your Chair. I don't normally go through these occasions. I don't think I've been to a conference like this in many years, so I just feel this was important, given all that's going on. Am I allowed to second my own proposal? Or
no.
Is that the vested interest?
It's proposed by Councillor Truesdale. Do we have a seconder? Seconded by Councillor Lee Thurgener.
Chair, just in line with the council position in relation to attendance at conferences, a report would need to be tabled by the councillor. Sarah has advised that she will provide a template to the council so that we will be able to ensure that we have consistency of approach, part of the consistency of approach.
All joking aside, on that, you would like to think that the report would be comprehensive and we would get value for money for our ratepayers, you know, with sending Councillor Enright to this forum. So I think a template would be welcomed because we would want to know what the outcomes of it are.
Yeah. Right, moving on to our notices of motion. Yeah. Item 18. Item 18 is... Sorry, Councillor Andrews, are you looking in?
Yes, I'm indeed. In the old Down Council days, if I recall, if councillors did go anywhere, they did give a report.
I believe that's where the template's coming from, Councillor Andrews. Item 18 is the notice of motion reaffirming the October 2019 climate change emergency motion. It has been, the notice of motion is from Councillor Enright. Councillor Enright, we won't be hearing your motion. Councillor McMurray's motion on climate change was tabled and deferred to committee last month, and this motion is similar. Will not be heard at council this evening, understanding Order 24 as below, rescission of a preceding resolution. No motion to rescind any resolution passed within the preceding 6 months, and no motion or amendment to the same effect as one which has been rejected within the preceding 6 months shall be proposed by a member unless the notice thereof given in pursuance of Standing Order 16.1 bears the name of at least 15% of the members of council. When any such motion or amendment has been disposed of by the council, it shall not be open to any member to propose a similar motion within a further period of 6 months. Moving on, notice of motion, item 19, notice of motion, ethical public procurement, understanding order 16.1. This motion will be referred to our SP and OR committee. Councillor Hamden, if I could ask you to read your motion and let us know who's going to second it, please.
Yes, thank you, Valerie. So the notice of motion is ethical public procurement. Newry Morning Down Council deplores those corporations that profit from protracted armed conflict and systematic violations of human rights, particularly in the context of Israel's continuing brutal assault on the people of Gaza and escalating settler terrorism in the West Bank. Russia's ongoing war of aggression against Ukraine and other conflicts around the world. With this motion, the Council encourages companies to meet their obligations to avoid contributing to adverse human rights impacts through their own activities and to prevent or mitigate human rights abuses linked to their operations. The Council is aware of the crucial role of local authorities and their public procurement procedures in ensuring respect for human rights by companies, as well as their obligations under the widely accepted business and human rights norms, as laid down the UN Guiding Principles on Business and Human Rights, OECD Guidelines for Multinational Enterprises and the Global Sullivan Principles, to promote respect for human rights by companies with which they do business. The Council affirms that every endeavour is made to ensure the Council's tender processes are consistent with the above principles, including the Fourth Geneva Convention relative to the protection of the civilian persons of time in time of war and under customary international humanitarian law, prohibiting the importation or sale of goods or services originating in occupied territories. This Council resolves to adopt a rights-based ethical procurement policy that takes fully into account existing obligations and standards. The EPP will incorporate widely accepted and precisely formulated international standards and explain clearly how the policy will be implemented. The primary aim of the EPP is to ensure the human rights obligations are properly acknowledged, observed and respected at all stages of the procurement process. And it's going to be seconded by Councillor King.
Thank you, Councillor Hanlon. Item 20 is a notice of motion on Daisy Hill, Understanding Order 16.16. This motion will be heard here at Council. Councillor Fagan, I now ask you to read your motion. Let us know who's going to second it, please.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, a wee bit has changed since we last sat here for our full Council meeting, in that we now have a restored Assembly and a Health Minister in post. And with that in mind, I would like to make an amendment to my motion as tabled, if you'll allow that.
Yeah.
Do you want me to just read it out as amended? Yeah. The amended motion would be that Newry, Mourne and Down District Council strongly opposes the decision by the Department of Health's Permanent Secretary to withdraw emergency general surgery from Daisy Hill Hospital and will write to Minister for Health, Robin Swan, requesting that he receives a cross-party delegation from Council to face due scrutiny on this decision. Council reaffirms its position that major decisions on the future of Daisy Hill can and should only be made by a Health Minister who is accountable to the public, and calls upon the Health Minister, Robin Swan, to reinstate emergency general surgery at Daisy Hill Hospital with immediate effect.
Councillor Fahan, could you possibly send your amended motion to Democratic Services, please?
Of course, yeah. Of course, yeah. Just give me 10 minutes. Chair, I've submitted that into the chat, and the motion will be seconded by Councillor McAteer. My remarks on this will be brief. The reason I brought this motion forward was because last month I was alarmed that a civil servant, the permanent secretary at the Department of Health, made a decision to permanently withdraw a critical service from Daisy Hill Hospital Emergency General Surgery. I don't think it's necessary for me to rehash the contribution that I made at last month's council meeting, but I do believe that it is more important than ever for us as a council to present strong and united opposition to that decision. In bringing forward this motion, I am asking for support from across the chamber in requesting that the new health minister agrees to receive a cross-party delegation from this council to bring the voice of local people directly to the new health minister and to urge him to reverse the decision made by the permanent secretary last month. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Hanlon, you have a question?
Yes, I just want to clarify, what exactly is a cross-party delegation from council to a minister? Would that not be the job of MLAs to scrutinise the minister? So I don't know, is there any precedent for that? I've never heard of it.
Chair, there is precedent for it where I don't know if it's happened in Uri Mourne and Down Council, but I do remember times it has been. I do remember times in Down Council where there would have been a delegation of elected members who would have went and met with a minister.
Councillor McMurray. Oh, sorry, Councillor Anna.
Thank you, Barbara, Chairperson. To be quite honest with you, Chair, there, I have no issue with that at all. There, across community delegation, across party delegation, going and meeting with the minister, as Daisy Hill is so important to the South Town area. They've little enough in South Town without losing any sort of surgery or anything like that there. So, us in the DUP have no issue with supporting this.
Thank you, Councillor Hannah. Councillor McAteer, you're in to second the motion. Do you wish to speak?
Yes, Chair, thank you for that. Yeah, in support of the new amended motion, really, I suppose what we are saying here is we wanted a stop call on the decision and be given the opportunity to discuss with whoever makes it. Well, we're not going to get discussing obviously with those who made the decision initially, but with in view of the new minister's responsibility for all decisions around primary and emergency care area, I think it is appropriate that we will meet him, and maybe we'll have time to scrutinise how the consultation process was viewed by the permanent secretary and come as the conclusion when the vast majority of people were against it. So we'll be interested to dig that out. I think it will be an opportunity at first hand to see how the new minister is thinking. Hopefully he's still there in a week or two, given today's discussions. But in any case, we hope it still will be Robert Swan. And certainly, that's really the essence of my second. Sure.
Thank you, Councillor McAteer. Councillor Finnegan, sorry I missed you earlier.
You're all right. Thanks, Chair. I'm just happy to support Councillor Feehan's motion. The decision to remove emergency surgery permanently from Daisy Hill Hospital has been deeply disappointing and has undoubtedly caused real concern across our district, particularly for those living in more rural areas, places like South Armagh and so far. The near collapse of all services in the hospital just last year badly impacted public confidence in the Trust and the Department for Health, and it is essential that real efforts are made to continue rebuild the confidence of both staff and the public with real actions to secure the future of the hospital. Whilst there have been some positive developments with the Trust securing the Monaghan Row site for the Daisy Hill expansion, investments for the much needed electrical supply upgrade and the installation of the MRI scanner, we need to see much more on what steps are being taken to secure and sustain Daisy Hill's long-term future. Sinn Féin welcomed the re-establishment of the executive and subsequent appointment of the new health minister, and it is now more important than ever that he sets out what his plans are to deliver for Daisy Hill and to ensure the people of Uri Mourne and Down will have equal access to vital services in the long term. Gormaoga, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Finnegan. Councillor McMurray.
Yeah, no, I'll be fairly brief in this as well, just on account of the amendment made. Fair truthfully, I think this is an issue for either party aligned or independent MLAs to raise through Stormont, and I think that's where it should be done. I think that all parties certainly have signed up to certain principles in the Bengoa since 2016, and obviously things are being get put into Daisy Hill, but I'm just wouldn't be comfortable sending a delegation or taking part in a delegation from this council. So I think we'll be abstaining from this vote, Chair. Thank you.
Councillor Taylor.
Chair, thank you. Chair, obviously, my party colleague, Robin Swan, has taken on the role from Saturday past, and he's going to have many pressures with this role. And I don't think any of us should try and underestimate that. We all have our local issues that we wish to push progress on, and I've outlined my own concern in recent debates regarding the removal of emergency surgery at Daisy Hill. But he will have many things on his desk in the days and weeks ahead, and that will include some of the local issues that we are raising here tonight. It will also include the development of cancer strategy, making sure that health service workers are getting fairer pay. Obviously, waiting list is a major issue as well, so there's going to be so many things that Robin is going to have to deal with in the time ahead. And I have no issue in terms of a cross-party delegation going to meet with the Minister to outline where we are on it. I have to say, the issue of introducing it with immediate effect, I think we're playing politics a wee bit with that, I'm sorry. I want to see it back as soon as possible, but there are challenges that we have to overcome. There's a reason why we're in this space, and that's because Daisy Hill hasn't been given the focus that it deserves, both the trust and the departmental level over the years. And certainly, and it's something I'll be speaking to the Health Minister on again in the coming days and weeks, I want to see a long-term strategic plan for Daisy Hill that sees the retention and further development of services at our hospital, because it serves a very vast area, a very vast rural area in many instances as well. We have a growing population, and certainly I see it as a key strategic hospital in our overall network. And whenever Robin was previously in the role, he recognised that as well. I'm not going to object to the motion tonight, because I'm obviously very supportive of the fact that I want to see emergency surgery at Daisy Hill, but I don't underestimate the challenges that there is as well. I'm have to be honest about that. And it's all right to say back with immediate effect, but everybody knows this isn't going to be reintroduced tomorrow morning again. There's challenges to overcome, both strategically and financially as well, that we want to see progress on. And we certainly hope that the executive will look at this seriously, because there's a wider issue with our health service that needs addressed, and that's going to need investment to address that there. And other strategic forms as well, but certainly, you know, I'm all for Daisy Hill, and anybody that knows me in this chamber and knows from my participation in recent meetings know how much I care about the hospital and how much I want to see it. Because I had to use it last week because my son had an accident. I had to go and bend it. You know, we had to use that service, and it's a vital service for all of us. And I certainly don't.
Don't seem to be all in agreement, I would ask for a roll call. Councillor Andrews?
In favour of the motion.
Councillor Bisey?
Abstain.
Councillor Brennan?
For.
Councillor Burton? Councillor Campbell?
For.
Councillor Clark?
For.
Councillor Devlin? Councillor Enright?
Abstain.
Councillor Fian?
For.
Councillor Finn? Councillor Finnegan?
For.
Councillor Galbraith?
For.
Councillor Gibbons is absent. Councillor Hanlon?
For.
Councillor Hannah?
For.
Councillor Hart?
For.
Councillor Howell?
For.
Councillor Jackson?
For.
Councillor Kearns. Councillor Kelly is absent. Councillor King.
Four.
Councillor Larkin.
Four.
Councillor Lee Surgener.
Abstain.
Councillor Lewis.
Four.
Councillor McGuinness.
Four.
Councillor Mathers.
Four.
Councillor McAteer.
Four.
Councillor McAvoy is absent. Councillor McMurray.
Abstain.
Councillor O'Hare.
Four.
Councillor Declan Murphy.
Four.
Councillor Kate Murphy.
Four.
Councillor Selena Murphy. Councillor Quinn.
Four.
Councillor Riley is absent. Councillor Rice. Councillor Rowan.
Four.
Councillor Shorten.
Four.
Councillor Taylor.
Four.
Councillor Tinley.
Four.
Councillor Truesdale.
Abstain.
532-4, none against and 5 abstentions.
The motion is carried. Can I now ask Councillor Feehan to sum up?
Thank you, Chair, and thanks to all those who supported the motion. I want to particularly thank Councillor Taylor as well. I do want to make it clear, I can assure you that I'm not and would never play politics with Daisy Hill. I'm very grateful for your support of the motion because I understand that with a colleague in the Health Ministry, it might be more tricky terrain for you to navigate. So I do sincerely appreciate that, David, and I hope your wee buck's okay. Just with respect to the Alliance Party's comments, I have to take objection to them. I heard, unsurprisingly, the Bengoa report invoked. The Department of Health and the Trust are both on the record in saying that what happened at Daisy Hill with respect to emergency general surgery had absolutely nothing to do with Bengoa, nothing to do with planned transformation. It was, by the admission of the Permanent Secretary, an unplanned collapse of the service. So, and that was actually discussed and adjudicated in the discussion last month as well. So a wee bit disappointed. I think it's quite lazy and a bit of a cop-out. So, but as I say, I'm grateful to the support from across the chamber, and I'm looking forward to progressing this issue with a strong cross-party dynamic. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Feehan. Moving on, item 21 is a notice of motion, violence against women and girls. The notice of motion has been received from Councillor Gilbreath. This motion, Understanding Order 16.16, will be deferred to our Quality and Good Relations Forum. If you could read your motion, Councillor Gilbreath, and let us know who's second, please.
Sorry, thanks, Chair. This will be seconded by Councillor Derry Finn. Noting with concern findings that 98% women in Northern Ireland have experienced at least one form of violence or abuse in their lifetime, with 50% experiencing this before they were 11 years old. This council upholds its commitment to ending violence against women and girls, reaffirms that violence, abuse and harm against women and girls cuts across all generations and communities, calls for the delivery of a fully funded strategy to end violence against women and girls, and commits to instituting November 25th as elimination of the Violence Against Women and Girls Day across the district, with a series of events to help educate, raise awareness and end this abhorrent humanitarian abuse. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Gilbreath. Item 22 is the notice of motion on peatlands. The notice of motion has been received from Councillor Truesdale. Understanding Order 16.16, this will be deferred to the ERT Committee. Councillor Truesdale, if you could read your motion and let us know who's going to second it, please.
Thank you, Chair. This will be seconded by Councillor Enright. But this council believes peatlands are a critical part of our ecosystems, regulating the water cycle, purifying water and supporting biodiversity. Further recognises that peatlands store more carbon for long periods than any other ecosystem worldwide and therefore resolves to protect peatlands and to end its purchase and use of peat-based compost by the end of 2024. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Truesdale. Item 23 is a notice of motion on the MMR vaccines, Understanding Order 16.16. This motion will be heard here at Council. Councillor Devlin, if you could read your motion, please, and let us know who's going to second it.
Thank you so much, Chair. The motion is seconded by Councillor Andrews. So in terms of the actual wording, welcoming that between January and June 2023 that there were no cases reported of measles in the north, note with concern the increase in measles across England and Wales and emphasising the importance of having children up to date with MMR vaccinations. This Council affirms its support to maintain Northern Ireland as measles free and will undertake a public information and education campaign via print and social media to highlight to parents and guardians the importance of MMR vaccinations. And speaking to the motion, Chair, there is really startling news coming out of England in terms of the spread of measles as the UK Health Security Agency declared a national incident last month. This national incident is in the aftermath of a surge in cases and low vaccine uptake. That declaration is an internal mechanism signalling the growing public health risk and to enable the agency to focus on limiting further spread of the outbreak. 3/4 of the cases reported in the UK are in the West Midlands. Unfortunately, at this stage, there's no such outbreak in Northern Ireland, and it's so important that remains to be the case. Measles spreads very easily among those who are unvaccinated, especially in nurseries and schools. It can be a very unpleasant illness, and in some cases can be very serious, leading to hospitalisation and, tragically, even death in very rare cases. People in certain risk groups, including babies and young children, pregnant women and people with weakened immunity are at increased risk of complications of measles. I don't want to be alarmist here, Chair, in Uri Morning Down, but I do feel that raising awareness and the importance of vaccination in this regard is really important. We need a long-term concerted effort to protect individuals and to prevent large measles outbreaks, and I hope that all members in this chamber can support my call, which is to see Council playing a further role in raising awareness and ensuring that factual information is published via social media in particular. I suppose just to remind people of the symptoms of measles, high fever, a blotchy red or brown rash, coughing and sneezing. It can also leave eyes sore, red and watery. The illness normally clears in 7 to 10 days. However, complications can include pneumonia, meningitis, blindness and seizures. So in closing, Chair, the best way for parents to protect their children from measles is the MMR vaccine. 2 doses of the MMR vaccine give lifelong protection and it's never too late to catch up. And just a last wee comment today, Chair, just this morning, a local retired GP in Newcastle, Dr Willie Brady, was laid to rest. It was Dr Brady who actually diagnosed my meningitis back when I was 4 years of age, albeit not linked to measles, and he without doubt saved my life and many others in his long career. So I want to pay tribute to him and the amazing work that he's done within us, our local community, over the years. And just a last wee remark, you know, life can throw many challenges at us all, but as parents, we have the decision to make in terms of vaccinations of this nature. I believe it would be of the utmost importance that we grab that opportunity with both hands. Thank you, Charlotte. Terry's going to be second in that.
Thanks, Mr. Andrews. Do you wish to speak to the motion?
Yes, I'll just be brief, Chair. I'm happy to second the motion and fully support the sentiments of the motion and of the comments made by Laura in relation to the motion, which I think is a very important one. So happy to second and support. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. This is a really important campaign to get behind, and it's to be commended to looking for future poor possibilities. There's no doubt vaccine hesitancy in the last 4 years has been fuelled by large cohorts of bots on social media paid with questionable money, feeding off ordinary people's fears. In 1998, when the Wakefield MMR story broke, I'd just had my first child, and I was also working with autistic children. I came from a science background, but even I had a bit of a wobble. When my no-nonsense GP, and as Councillor Devlin said, my GP was Dr Brady, he was everybody's GP at that time, he explained and showed how Wakefield's study was carried out with a sample size of 12 children, and how there was no definite conclusion ever reached to his claims. My child had his MMR, and Wakefield is what is commonly known as a grifter. He has made millions from false allegations and misinformation. He's been disowned by the scientific community and has zero credibility. So I urge everyone to protect your most precious assets and support this motion. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair Harrell. Thank you, Chair, and thanks to Councillor Devon for bringing this motion. Sinn Féin will be supporting the motion. It's vitally important that parents understand that the MMR is a safe and effective vaccine that does prevent children and adults alike from what can be a life-threatening virus, as Laura has outlined. It has helped contain the spread of one of the most infectious viral diseases, but again, as Laura has outlined, over in the West Midlands and other areas, there has been a slowing and uptake of the vaccines and right across Europe, which has led to outbreaks of measles and other concerning diseases. It can be deadly, it can be very, very dangerous, and as a parent, it's probably one of our worst fears. I would request maybe the Laura that maybe you would consider Council do this alongside the PHA or work in conjunction with them, but no, we're more than happy to support the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Howell. Councillor Taylor.
Chair, thank you.
Councillor Devlin, are you prepared to accept the amendment?
Yes, I should have written down my closing comments in terms of the PHA, I think, as well, Chair, during my time as Chair of Council. I think Sarah, in particular, has an excellent working relationship with PHA in terms of the information that was coming through. So, again, the importance of the accurate information is best, and they're the best source to get that from, so more than happy. Roisin, thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Chair Taylor.
Yeah, Chair, very brief. Happy to support the motion. There obviously has been concern regarding outbreak that's taken place in other parts of the UK. Certainly anything that we can do as a council is one of our key objectives is the health and wellbeing of our people. And if we can do anything that we can to raise the awareness of the vaccine that's available for this, certainly we should do that. So thanks to Councillor Devlin for bringing forward the motion.
Councillor Hanlon. Councillor Devlin, if you'd like to sum up.
Yes, Chair, I suppose just basically to thank everybody for their comments. It's a difficult issue, but I think in terms of council responsibility, we've got the PHA, but if we can amplify that message and do all we can, I think that could only be a good thing. But thank you to everybody. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, everyone, and safe home. Councillor Lee Surgeoner, you've come in just for a comment.
Yeah, and it's unrelated, but I want to wish every councillor and officers a very harmonious Chinese New Year. It's the year of the dragon, so it's ups and downs, but I want to wish everybody a very harmonious and quiet and peaceful 2024. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Lee Surgeoner.